Hello, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of The Abominable Snowman of Pasadena by the great, great R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. So I just got a small tattoo of a heart on my hip, which may be the most feminine thing ever. Let me go back. So my mother is constantly allergic to everything. She's one of those people that just everything has an allergy and this and that. And because my girlfriend is a tattoo artist by trade, wanted to eventually get a thing that her mother used to always say in her mother's handwriting. Her mom, my grandmother, passed away a few years ago. And but she was afraid that she was going to be allergic to tattoo ink and wanted to get a small thing first just to see if she would be allergic. However, I told my girlfriend prior to whatever my mom decided that as my first tattoo ever is like my family crest thing that I got done with my dad, which was also his first tattoo. I said, no matter what my mom gets, I'm getting the exact same thing, but you can't tell her. So she wanted to get something tiny. She was thinking maybe a bird. Could have been a lot of things. And ended up with just the outline of a small hip or a small heart on her hip, which is the most feminine thing ever. And if I wasn't a big, hairy dude, it would be even worse. But it's there now. So she got it done. And I was like, all right, my turn. Laid down and got it. It's ridiculous. So it's good to start out the podcast with a little story. I'm drinking a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And I was drinking like a energy drink and vodka so I could try to wake up and record. Because I can record now on Tuesdays. Because I am a quitter at all things in life. Except for things that make me happy. Like sweet, sweet Dune Reads Goosebumps. Chapter number 14. Swag. Nicole and I chased after the sled, watching it grow tinier and tinier. Arthur, come back! He's got our food, I cried like a fatty fat shit. We couldn't let him get away. We ran as fast as we could, our boots falling deep into the snow. The sled climbed over a tall ridge of snow. Stop! Stop! Nicole screamed as if it were hammer time. Please! We can't keep up with the dogs, I gasped. We have to try, Nicole cried frantically. We can't let Arthur leave us here. The sled disappeared over the top of the ridge. We clawed our way up. The snow slid under our feet. By the time we reached the top, Arthur and the dogs were far ahead of us. We watched in horror as they quickly disappeared across the tundra. It's really weird that I'm reading this one right now because, apparently, what are they saying? It's the first time ever, maybe, that it's below 0 degrees at some place in every state in the U.S.? Is that what they're saying? Because I'm looking at my thermostat right now. 72 degrees. That's Fahrenheit, kiddos. 72. I didn't turn on the heater. That's just how it is at San Diego at 7:09. It's been dark for a while, but, yeah. Very, very comfortable. Exhausted, I collapsed in the snow. They're getting away, I choked out. Jordan, get up, Nicole pleaded. We can't catch him, I moaned. Then Nicole said in a small voice, where are we? I stood up and gazed around. Snow, snow, snow. That's what I said on my Christmas list to Santa. But it was like snow wink, you know? It's a Wolves of Wall Street kind of snow, if you know what I'm saying. All around us, nothing but snow. No landmarks, no sign of the cabin. Clouds had covered the sun. The wind picked up. Snow began to fall. I had no idea where we were. Which way is the cabin? I asked in a shrill voice. Which way did we come? Why doesn't this take place in Pasadena? Dune asked. We scanned the horizon through the falling snow. I couldn't see the cabin anywhere. Nicole tugged at my arm. The cabin is that way. Let's go. No! The snow came down harder and faster, stinging my eyes. I shouted into the wind. The cabin's the other way. That's not the way we came. Look! Nicole yelled, pointing down. Our tracks! We'll just follow them home. We started down the ridge, following the ruts we'd made in the snow. The wind howled, growing stronger. We followed our own footprints for a short while. It was hard to see in the falling snow, all white and gray. The whole world, white and gray.
Well, actually, it's not actually the whole world. It's just wherever you assholes are in fucking Alaska.
Microphone adjustment. Snap, snap. Making sure it's not the laptop mic recording. Nicole peered at me through the thick curtain of snow. I can hardly see you, she shouted. We crouched low, searching for our footprints. They're gone, I cried. The snow had already covered them up. Nicole clutched my arm. Jordan, I'm getting scared. I was getting scared too, but I didn't tell Nicole. We'll find the cabin, I assured her. Don't worry. I bet Dad's looking for us right now. I wished I believed myself. The wind pelted us with hard, icy snow. I squinted into the wind. Nothing but white. White on white, like the non-existent form of crime. White on gray. Don't let go of me, I shouted to Nicole. What? I said, don't let go of me. We could easily lose each other in the storm. She tightened her grip on my arm to show she understood. I'm so cold, she shouted. Let's run. We tried to run through the snow, stumbling against the wind. Dad, we called out. Dad! I had no idea where we were going, but I knew we had to go somewhere. Look, Nicole cried, pointing through the thick snow. I think I see something. I stared as hard as I could, but I couldn't see shit. Nicole pulled me along. Come on, she shouted. We ran blindly. Suddenly, the ground gave way under our feet. Still holding on to Nicole, I felt myself being sucked down under the snow. Chapter number 15. Here's where I was going to make a joke about the age of consent being 15 in Hawaii, but then I googled it and it's not true. Oh, yeah. Down we fell, down into the freezing white. The snow rushed up, swirled around us, and buried us. Another crevasse, I thought, another deep pit in the snow, much deeper than the first. We both cried out as we landed, tangled up in each other, erotically. Get off, Nicole shrieked. Don't mind if I do. Now, skeet, 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 skeet. Just kidding, that's not what happened at all. Where are we? Get off. Feeling dazed, I struggled to my feet. Then I grabbed both of her hands and tugged her up. Oh no, Nicole groaned. We both stared up to the top. I could barely make out the gray of the sky high above our heads. And all around us, high walls of snow, powdery snow that blew down on us. I peered up to the top of the pit. Chunks of snow broke off the icy walls. They made soft thuds as they landed beside us on the snowy pit floor. We're trapped down here, Nicole wailed. Dad will never find us. Never! Hopefully Han will find them, you know? Like they're on Hoth, the snow planet, from Empire Strikes Back. No. Oh. Alright, I'll just trudge on. I grabbed the shoulders of her coat. A chunk of snow fell off the pit wall and landed on top of my boots. Try to stay calm, I told her. Like those horrible posters everyone makes all the time that say, keep calm and blah, 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 and anyone who makes those should kill themselves because, dear God, it's the most fucked out thing on the planet. But my voice trembled as I said it. Calm? How can I stay calm? Stay calm and read Stephanie Meyer. Cool. I'm gonna repin that. She demanded shrilly. Dad will find us, I said. I wasn't sure I believed it. I swallowed hard, trying to fight my panic. Dad! Nicole screamed. She cupped her hands around her mouth, raised her head toward the sky, and screamed at the top of her lungs. Dad! Dad! dead. I clapped a mitten over her mouth. Too late, I heard a low rumbling. The rumbling became a roar as the snow walls began to crack and crumble. Crumble down, down on us. Trembling in horror, I knew what was happening. Nicole had started an avalanche! That was a great chapter read, Dune. Thanks, Dune. You're the best. No, you're the best. Let's make out. So I don't know where I get most of these Goosebumps books. A lot of them are from the swap meet, which I tend to be drunk at 9 in the morning on Saturdays and Sundays often. Or a lot of them is because my mom works at a school and she gets the copies before they throw them out because kids don't care about the Goosebumps no more. Anyway, the back of this one has the all-new and terrifying Goosebumps fan club pack thing where you can sign in out your information, where the person who originally owned this book put in all their information and then never sent it in. This book was originally purchased at Vaughn's, by the way, the grocery store. So, being who I am and curious, I went to the old Facebook, and it was a kind of a unique last name. So I Facebooked it and found the guy from the port. It's part of San Diego, but it's part of San Diego, like, where my girlfriend's from. That's, like, I think technically a different city, but in the same county. I don't know. Point is, the person who owned this book grew up to be, he seems to be maybe Mexican, but so is everyone in San Diego. And maybe he's white. Maybe he's half white. No, he's white. He's a white dude. And very gay. Very gay, very skinny and tall. Definitely looks like a bottom. I'm looking at a picture right now where he's with a dude, and he's shirtless. The dude's not. The dude's holding him from behind, and he's maybe 5 inches shorter than the dude. It looks like a party on the Midway. Just super gay. Point is, this is book. It's a very weird thing to think about, that somehow this was a little kid who wrote with little kid handwriting, and was very excited about Goosebumps when this came out in 94? And now it's just out, you know, exploring the world, blowing dudes. 95. Anyway, very interesting to see and put a face to the small boy that grew into a, looks like, successful gay man that once owned the book that I'm holding in my hands right now. Fucking Dune Reads Goosebumps. Chapter number 16, yeah! As sheets of snow tumbled down on us, I grabbed Nicole. I pushed her against the pit wall. Then I flattened myself against the wall, too. The snow roared down. I pressed myself tight against the wall, and to my shock, the wall gave way. Oh! I let out a startled cry. Nicole and I tumbled through the side of the pit. We stumbled forward into total darkness. I heard a crash behind us, my heart pounding. I turned in time to see the pit fill up. Snow piled over the opening in the wall. Nicole and I were sealed in, shut in this dark hole. If only I had punched some trees, and then made the trees into those blocks, then made the blocks into sticks, and then got some coal, I could totally make a torch. Our way out was gone. The pit was gone. We crouched in the dark, tunnel-like opening, trembling, gasping in fright. Where are we? Nicole choked out. What do we do now? I don't know, bitch. I grabbed the wall. We seemed to be in a narrow passageway. The walls around us were made of rock instead of snow. My eyes adjusted to the darkness. I could see a dim light at the end of the passageway. Let's see what's down there, I urged Nicole. We crawled on our hands and knees through the passage towards the light. The passage ended. We stood up. We found ourselves in a big cave. The top of the cave towered high above our heads. Water trickled slowly down one of the walls. A dim glow came from somewhere near the back. The light must be coming from outside, Nicole said. That means there's a way out of here. We crept slowly through the cave. The only sound I could hear was the drip, drip, drip of melting icicles. Soon we'll be out of here, I thought. Jordan, she whispered, look. On the floor of the cave, I could make out a footprint. A gigantic footprint. Bigger than the fake one I'd made in the snow that morning.
5 of my shoes could fit inside that footprint. I took a few steps. I saw another footprint. Nicole grabbed my arm. Do you think it's... She stopped. I knew what that bitch was thinking. We traced the giant footprints across the cave floor. They led us straight to a shadowy corner in the back and stopped. I glanced up. Nicole gasped. We both saw it at the same time. The creature. The abominable snowman! He loomed over us. He stood upright like a human covered in brown fur. Black eyes stared out of an ugly face. Half human, half gorilla. Wait, he's just describing Armenian people. He wasn't that tall, about a head taller than me, but he seemed huge. His body was thick and powerful with gigantic feet and fur-covered hands as big as baseball gloves. We're trapped, Nicole stammered. She was right. The entrance behind us had been blocked off by the avalanche. There was no way we could slip past the giant creature. No way. The abominable snowman glared down at us. Then it started to move. Not that I'd actually be a good podcaster and go back and edit something I'd say, but I do feel bad about the fact that I said that guy totally looks like a bottom and whatnot, because I don't want to sound too offensive, because if not, I would have been like, hey, dude, this is what's happening to that book you read as a child. How fucking weird is that? God, the world's a weird place. Anyway, enjoy the cornholing, but I can't because I said things like enjoy the cornholing. Oh well, live and learn. Chapter 17. My teeth began to chatter. I squeezed my eyes shut and trembled, waiting for the monster to grab us. A second passed, then another. Nothing happened. I opened my eyes. The snowman hadn't moved. Nicole took a step forward. He's frozen, she cried. I blinked in the dim light. Wait a second. It just said the monster started to move. You can't end a chapter saying that the monster started to move, and then the next chapter started with, the snowman hadn't moved, he's frozen. That's bullshit. I blinked in the dim light. Huh? It was true. The snowman stood frozen in a huge block of clear ice. I touched the ice. The monster stood inside it like a statue. If he's frozen in ice, I wondered, then what made those giant footprints? Nicole bent down to study the prints. She shuddered again at their huge size. They led right to the block of ice, she declared. The snowman must have made them somehow. Maybe he walked back here and accidentally froze, I suggested. What, as opposed to being frozen on purpose, you idiot! I touched the back wall of the cave, where icy water dripped from above. Or maybe he goes into the ice to rest, I added, like Dracula, going to sleep in his coffin at dawn. I backed away. It was too frightening, being this close to him, but the monster stayed perfectly still under the thick ice. Nicole leaned close to the ice. Look at his hands, she cried, or paws, or I don't know, whatever the fuck they are. Like the rest of his body, his hands were covered with brown fur. He had thick fingers, like a man's. A man with sausage fingers, like Newman. Jutting out of them were long, sharp claws, especially a super long one on his pinky nail. A chill ran down my spine at the sight of those claws. What did he use them for? Ripping wild animals to pieces? Tearing up people who got in his way? Partying on weekends? He had powerful legs with shorter claws on his toes. I studied his face. Fur covered his whole head except for a circle of hairless skin around his eyes, nose, and mouth. Like Dune. The skin was a pinkish red. His lips were thick and white and set in a mean-looking grimace. He's definitely a mammal, Nicole declared. The fur is a dead giveaway. I rolled my eyes. This is no time for biology lessons, bitch. Wait until Dad sees this. He'll go crazy. If he can get a picture of this, he'll be famous. Yeah, Nicole sighed. If we can find Dad, if we ever get out of here. There's got to be a way out, I said. I moved to a side wall and pressed it with my hands, searching for a hole, a chink in the rock, or anything. I think it would be a Yeti if it was a chink in the rock. And by rock, I mean ice. Is the point... Oh, whatever. After a few minutes, I found a tiny crack. Nicole, I cried, I found something. She raced to my side. I pointed out the crack in the cave wall. She frowned with disappointment. That's just a crack, she said. You don't know everything, I protested. Maybe there's a secret door here, a hidden passage or something. She sighed. I guess it's worth a shot. We pressed on the crack. We stuck our fingers into it. We kicked it. I even tried karate chopping it. Nothing. I hate to break this to you, Jordan, she said, but I was right, as always. All you found was a crack in the wall. Well, keep looking, I snarled. We've got to get out of here. I kept searching. I ran my hands along the wall, my back to the monster. Suddenly, I heard a noise, a loud crack. Nicole, I cried. Did you find something? I whirled around. I realized Nicole hadn't made that sound. She stared at the monster in horror. What? I asked her. What's wrong? I heard another crack. The ice is cracking, Nicole screamed. The monster! He's breaking out! Chapter number 18. Crack! Damn it, I lost my voice. Crack! The block of ice splintered apart. Nicole and I pressed ourselves against the wall, watching in horror. The abominable snowman burst from the ice. Chunks of ice smashed on the floor and shattered like glass. The snowman shook himself, growling like a wolf. Franklin, can you make a wolf growl? Franklin, can you go sleepy night-night? Oh, you're so good at that one. Run! I screamed. Nicole and I took off, but there was nowhere to go. We scrambled to the other side of the cave, as far from the monster as we could get. The passageway, I cried. I ducked down and started to crawl through the passage. Nicole grabbed me. Wait, it's blocked. The avalanche, remember? Yes, of course. The way out of the cave was blocked by tons of snow. Across the cave, the monster uttered a ferocious roar that shook the walls. So this is pretty much exactly like the monster from the Matterhorn at Disneyland. And by the way, have you ridden the Matterhorn recently? Person I'm talking to that doesn't exist? Or that does exist, but they're not talking back to me. Fuck, that's horrible. We went on it has the longest ride because, God forbid, they implement the fast pass system that everyone else does. And you get on there, and you just get, like, jumped by a bunch of Aryan Brotherhood people. It's like, you're in there, but you're not really strapped in, and it's bumpy, and you just slam back and forth. And it's just like, you smack your liver on one side, and then it goes the other way, and you smack your kidney. And you just end up bruised and miserable and nauseous. It's no good. I feel like it used to be more smooth. Or the cars were better and had you more packed in until they had to redo them because everyone's fatter now. Including me. Nicole and I cowered in the corner of the cave. I felt her trembling next to me. Maybe he didn't see us, I whispered. Then why is he roaring? Nicole whispered. The monster twitched his gorilla nose in the air, sniffing. Oh no, I thought. Can he smell us from across the cave? He turned his huge furry head one way and then the other. He's searching for us, I realized. He smells us. He grunted. He stared into a corner of the cave. Our corner of the cave. He grunted again. Oh, shit, Nicole moaned. He sees us. The big creature staggered toward us, grunting with each heavy step. I pressed myself against the cave wall, wishing the cave would swallow us up. Anything would be better than having him swallow us. The monster kept coming. His footsteps shook the floor of the cave. Boom, 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 boom. I want you in our room.
Ugh. That was my body rejecting me singing Venga Boy songs. Don't worry, alcohol will save us. We huddled on the floor. We tried to make ourselves as small as we could. He stopped inches in front of us and roared again. A deafening roar. Growl. His teeth, Nicole cried. I saw them too. Two rows of huge, razor-sharp teeth. The monster growled and reached for us. His sharp claws flashed. He swiped at me. I tried to duck away. The monster snarled in frustration. He reached out again. He clamped a powerful paw on Nicole's head. Help! She screamed. He's crushing me! Chapter number 19. Let go of her! I shrieked. But I knew I was helpless. The abominable snowman growled and turned Nicole around roughly. Then he reached behind her and grabbed her backpack. Side note, the word backpack in Japanese is bakupaku. He ripped it off her shoulder with a sharp, hard tug. Hey! I cried in horror. With one claw, he sliced open the canvas backpack. He reached inside and pulled something out. A bag. A bag of trail mix! Nicole and I stared in amazement as he poured the trail mix into his mouth. Weird, I choked out. He likes trail mix. When I did a brief stint in college, I used to eat a lot of trail mix for some reason. And one day when I was sitting in class, which is probably a good sign as to why I shouldn't have been in class in the first place, I decided to swallow all the peanuts in it whole to see if I pooped them all out whole. That's all. Just like pills. That's all there is, Nicole whispered to me. With an angry growl, the monster tossed Nicole's pack away. Now what? Nicole whispered. I reached into my own backpack, and with a trembling hand, I yanked out my bag of trail mix. I heaved it at the monster. The bag hit the floor and slid to the monster's feet. He bent down, grabbed it, tore it open, and hungrily gulped down the trail mix. When he finished, I shoved my backpack toward him. He grunted. Then he dumped out my stuff. No more trail mix. Uh-oh! The monster stretched and roared. Then he reached down. With two gigantic arms, he grabbed Nicole and me. He lifted us up. He raised us toward his face, toward his mouth, preparing to eat us.
Oh my goodness.
This is the 20th chapter of this book. I struggled, but he was too strong. I pounded my fists on his chest. I kicked as hard as he could. He didn't seem to feel it. He clutched Nicole and me like a couple of dolls. Please don't eat us, I begged. Please. The monster grunted. He draped us both over the crook of one arm. Then he staggered back across the cave, gripping us tightly. I kicked him in the side. No reaction. Nothing. Let go! I shrieked. Let us down! Where is he taking us? Nicole cried, bouncing as the creature tromped across the cave. This is the part of Dune Reads Goosebumps where Dune looks up a word. Sure, he understands it for context. Tromp. Walk heavily. Trudge. She tromped across the yard. Very interesting. Thanks, R.L. Stein. It's fun to learn. Maybe he wants to roast us, I thought grimly. Maybe he doesn't like his kids raw. God knows I do. He lugged us to the back of the cave. With one powerful swipe of the paw, he knocked a boulder aside. A narrow passage appeared behind it. Nicole moaned. Why didn't we see that before? Maybe we could have escaped. Too late now, I groaned. The snowman pulled us through the passage. We came out into a smaller cave, flooded with light. I glanced up. Above us, I could see the gray sky. a way out. Balancing us in one arm, the monster scaled the wall of the cave. With big, lurching steps, he climbed out of the hole. Cold air blasted me in the face, but the monster's body pulsed with heat. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the monster is delightful. Since there's no place to go, eat your soul, eat your soul, eat your soul. The blizzard had stopped. Fresh snow covered the tundra. The monster stumbled through the snow, grunting as he walked. His gigantic feet sank deep into the snow, but with each huge step, he covered a lot of ground. Where was he taking us? Where? Maybe he has another cave, I thought with a shudder. A cave with more monsters in it. His friends, they'll all feast on us. I tried again to break out of the snowman's grip. I kicked and squirmed as hard as I could. The monster growled. He dug his claws into my side. Ow! I yelped, but I stopped squirming. If I moved, his claws dug deeper. Poor Dad, I thought sadly. He'll never know what happened to us unless he finds our bones buried in the snow. He probably wouldn't find the bones buried in the snow because bones are like white and the snow's white. I guess bones are like tannish, off-white, but people bleach them before they sell them for some reason. I'll have to ask the girlfriend about that. There's a lot of bones in this house. This house is also a condo. I shouldn't lie to you people. Suddenly, I heard barking. A dog. The abominable snowman stopped. He growled and sniffed the air. Then he gently dropped Nicole and me in the snow. We landed unsteadily on our feet. Nicole stared at me in surprise. We started to run, stumbling through the deep snow. I glanced back. Is he chasing us? Nicole asked. I couldn't be sure. God damn, I wish I sold enough magazine to get those sunglasses. And then they had the little mirrors on the side of them. You know what I'm talking about? When you're a kid, and they tell you to sell magazine subscriptions, and one of the prizes is sunglasses with mirrors inside. That's what I'm talking about. And they had assemblies at your school, hosted by the saddest adults in the world, now that you think about it. Keep running, I shouted. Then I saw something familiar in the distance. A brown speck. Poo-poo. Just kidding, probably not poo-poo. I bumped Nicole. The cabin! We ran even faster. If we could just get to the cabin. From the cabin, we heard furious barking. The dog Arthur had left behind. Dad! Dad! We shrieked. We burst through the door. We found him. We found the abominable snowman! Dad! The cabin stood empty. Empty and bare. Dad was gone.
Chapter 21. My eyes darted around the cabin. Dad, Dad.
My heart skipped a beat. My throat went dry. Where did he go? Was he out searching for Nicole and me? Did he get lost in the snow? We're all alone, I murmured. Nicole and I ran to the window. A thin layer of snow frosted the pane. We peered out into the bright sunlight. No sign of Dad. At least the snowman didn't follow us, I said. Jordan, why did he drop us? Nicole asked softly. I think the barking dog scared him, I replied. If that dog hadn't barked, what would the monster have done to us? Franklin, if there's ever a monster, will you bark and save my life? Will you show me a practice bark? Woof! That was me trying to get him to do it, listeners. That was not him complying with me. Oh, I woke him up and now he's itching his neck. So that's like a bark. I feel like that could kind of save my life. As the question pushed into my mind, I heard the dog to start to bark again. Nicole and I both gasped. The snowman, I cried. He's back! Hide! We glanced around, frantically searching for a good hiding place. The cabin was so bare, it wouldn't take the monster long to find us. Behind the stove, Nicole urged. We dashed to the small, square stove and crouched behind it. Outside the cabin, we heard the slow,
heavy footsteps
of the monster.
Crunch, crunch, crunch. Footsteps over the snow. Nicole grabbed my hand. We froze, waiting, listening, commiserating. Crunch, crunch. Please don't come into the cabin, I prayed. Please don't capture us again. The footsteps stopped outside the door. I squeezed my eyes shut. The door burst open. A blast of cold air blew into the room. Jordan? Nicole? Dad! We jumped out from behind the stove. There stood Dad, with his camera around his neck. We both ran to him and hugged him. Dad, I'm so glad to see you! Hi, he replied. What's going on, guys? I expected you to be asleep. He glanced around the cabin. Hey, where's Arthur? He took off, I cried breathlessly. He took the sled. He took all the food and three of the dogs. We chased after him, Nicole added, but he got away. Dad's face filled with surprise. Then, horror. I'd better radio for help. We won't last long without food. Dad, listen. I blocked his way to the radio. Nicole and I found
the abominable snowman.
He sidestepped around me. This is no time for jokes, Jordan. If we don't get help, we could starve to death out here. He's not joking, Dad, Nicole insisted, tugging Dad's arm. We really found the snowman. He lives in a cave under the snow. Dad stopped and studied Nicole. He always believes her. But this time, he wasn't sure. It's true, I cried. Come on, we'll show you. Nicole and I tugged him out the door. Jordan, if this is one of your tricks, you are going to be in a major trouble. That's the sequel to Major Pain, starring Damon Wayans. He warned, we're in serious situation here. Dad, he's not kidding, Nicole cried impatiently. Come on! We led him out into the snow to spot where the snowman had dropped us. We pointed out his huge footprints. Why should I believe this? Dad said. You faked the snowman's footprints this fucking morning, Jordan. Those just look a little bigger. Dad, I swear I didn't make these prints. We'll show you the cave, Dad, Nicole promised. Follow the footprints. You'll see. It's unbelievable. I knew Dad went along with us only because Nicole insisted. He trusted her. She never played jokes on him. Leaning into the wind, we traced the giant footprints across the snow. Dad couldn't resist snapping pictures of them, just in case. The footsteps led us back to the cave. They stopped at an opening in the ground. The cave is down that hole, I told Dad, pointing. I think Dad believes us now. Let's go, check it out, he said. Huh? I cried. Back down there, to the monster? Dad was already sliding down the cave opening. He reached up to help Nicole climb down. I hesitated. Dad, wait, you don't understand. There's a monster down there, I said, pointing to my pants and my dong, my big dong. It's good stuff, dude. No problem. Come on, Jordan, Dad urged. I want to see this for myself. I had no choice. Dad was going there, no matter what I said, and I didn't want to wait outside alone. I scrambled down to the opening of the cave. The three of us felt our way along the narrow passage until we reached the mouth of the big cave. Keeping close together, Dad and Nicole walked in, but I stopped at the entrance and stared into the cave. Jordan, come on, Dad whispered. And there's a monster in here, I thought with a shudder. A huge fucking monster with big-ass claws and shit and fucking crazy-ass wacky teeth. We managed to escape him once. Why are we going back? What's going to happen to us in there? I had a bad feeling. A very bad feeling. It's now Saturday the 11th, and I need to get this up because I have told myself I'm keeping up with a every Saturday release date. So fuck yeah, more Dune Reads Goosebumps. And that brings us to the sweet, sweet chapter number 22. Dad grabbed me by the hand and pulled me into the cave. I heard the drip of icy water against the back wall. I blinked in the darkness. Where was he? Where was
The Abominable Snowman!
I heard Dad's camera clicking away. I tried to stay close to Dad. I cried out when I spotted the snowman. I expected him to roar and lumber after us, but he stood stiffly, staring straight ahead, refrozen again inside a huge block of ice, like a tweaker's dream. Nicole stepped closer to the block of ice. How does he do that? This is amazing, Dad cried, snapping picture after picture like a fucking girl that needs tons of attention on Instagram. Incredible! I stared up at the monster's face. He glared out at us from behind the ice. His black eyes glittered, his mouth set in a toothy snarl. This is the most amazing discovery in history, Dad exclaimed, completely forgetting about penicillin. Do you realize how famous we're going to be? He stopped shooting for a second and peered up at the brown-furred monster. Why stop here? He murmured. Why go home with nothing but photos? Why not take the snowman himself back to California? That way he can get a medical marijuana card. Do you know what a sensation that will create?
Okay, fine. They're going to bring it back to Pasadena, and all my complaining about it just being in Alaska's for naught.
But how? Nicole asked. He's alive, you know, Dad, I warned. I mean, this isn't Encino Man. We can't just drag blocks of ice out. We didn't find him while digging a swimming pool in our backyard. I'm not Sean Astin, who would eventually become Samwise, okay? I mean, he can crack out of that ice, and when he does, it's really scary. I don't think you could control him. Dad knocked gently on the ice, testing it. We won't let him get out of the ice, he said. At least, not until we've got him under control. Dad walked all the way around the block of ice, rubbing his chin. It was completely unnecessary for me to also rub my chin at that point. If we cut the ice a bit, it might fit into the supply trunk, he said. Then we could carry the snowman back to California in the block of ice, locked in the trunk. It's airtight, so the ice won't melt.
I don't think that's how heat works. You can tell I'm off to a good start on Goosebumps when I have to pause into the first chapter because I think I'm going to vomit. Anyway, also drinking a rum and Diet Dr. Pepper.
He stepped up close to the ice and snapped a few more shots of the snowman's snarling face. Let's go get the drunk, kids. Dad, wait. I didn't like this idea. You don't understand. The snowman could rush us. He let us go once, but why take another chance? Look at his teeth, Dad, Nicole pleaded. He's so strong, he picked us both up at once.
It's worth the risk, Dad insisted. Neither of you is hurt, right? Nicole and I nodded.
Yes, but isn't that horrible fucking parenting?
Let's go. Dad had made up his mind. He wasn't going to listen to our warnings.
I'd never seen him so excited. As we hurried from the cave, he called back to the snowman.
Don't go away, we'll be right back.
We rushed over the snow to the cabin. Dad pulled the supply trunk outside. It was about 6 feet long and 3 feet wide. The snowman will fit, he said. But with him inside the trunk, it will be very heavy. We need the dog sled to pull it, Nicole said.
But Arthur took the sled, I reminded them and the listeners. So I guess the deal is off. We'll just have to go home without
an abominable snowman.
Too bad. Maybe there's another sled around here somewhere, Dad suggested. This is an old musher's cabin, after all. I remembered the old sled I'd seen in the dog shed. Nicole had seen it, too. She led Dad to it. Ah, what a cunt.
Fantastic, Dad cried. Now let's go get that snowman before he escapes.
We hitched Lars, our only dog, to the old sled and towed the supply trunk to the cave. Then we crept silently into the cave, pulling the trunk behind us.
Careful, Dad, I warned. He might have broken out of the ice by now.
But
the abominable snowman
stood where we'd left him, frozen in his block of ice. Dad began to cut the ice down to size with a hacksaw, and then put it into 1/16 of an ounce bags. He called these teents. teens of Tina. I pace nervously.
Hurry, I whispered. He could burst out any minute.
This isn't easy, Dad snapped. I'm working as fast as I can. He hacked away. Each second felt like an hour to me.
Each hour felt like 3 hours. And each 3 hour increment felt like 2 days. It wasn't like a scale that was normal. It was an exponential growth. In reality, it just says each second felt like an hour, and I regret going further into this.
I watched the snowman carefully for any signs of movement.
Dad, do you have to saw so loudly? I complained. Those noises could wake him up.
Shut the fuck up, Jordan, Dad said, but his voice was tight and shrill too.
Then I heard a crack. Dad, do you have to keep smoking that? This is a really important instance.
Look out! I cried. He's breaking out! Dad straightened up. I cracked a bit of the ice, Jordan. I studied the monster. He hadn't moved.
Okay, kids, Dad said. We're ready. Dad had cut the ice into a 6-foot-long rectangle.
Help me slide this into the trunk.
I opened the lid of the trunk. Nicole and I helped Dad tip the ice over and gently drop it into the trunk. It just barely fit.
We slid the trunk along the ground to the opening of the cave.
Dad tied...
All right, I'm going to drink alcohol. Dad tied a rope around it and climbed out of the hole.
I'll tie the rope to the sled, Dad called from above. That way, Lars can help me hoist it out.
Hey, I whispered to Nicole. Let's sneak some snowballs into the trunk, just for fun. We can throw them at Kyle and Kara when we get home.
Snow from the cave of the abominable snowman!
They'll never top that.
This seems like a plan that involves lots of effort for something stupid.
Grow up, okay, idiot.
Worry about important things like me. I'm an adult. I'm going to Disneyland tomorrow.
No, please, don't open the trunk, Nicole begged. We just barely got the snowman inside.
We can squeeze a few snowballs in, I insisted.
I quickly made a bunch of snowballs, packing them tight. Then I cracked open the trunk and slipped them inside next to the block of ice.
I checked the monster one last time for signs of life.
The ice was solid. We were safe.
They won't melt in there, I said, sealing the lid of the trunk shut.
We locked it with the bolt and tightened the rope around it.
I felt pretty sure the snowman wouldn't be able to break out of there, even if he did crack through the ice.
Ready?
Dad shouted from up above. 1, 2, 3,
heave!
Then he puked, just like Dune almost did.
Dad and Lars tugged on the rope until the chest lifted off the ground. Nicole and I squatted beneath it to help push it up, because we don't understand gravity.
Again! Dad yelled. Heave!
We pushed as hard as we could. It's so heavy! Nicole complained, like a little bitch.
Come on, kids! Dad called. Push!
We gave the trunk a shove. Dad and Lars tugged it over the lip of the cave opening. Dad collapsed in the snow.
Whew, he muttered, wiping his brow.
Well, the hardest part is over. He helped Nicole and me scramble out. We all rested a few minutes. Then we dragged the trunk onto the sled.
Dad secured it with the rope. Lars pulled the sled back to the cabin.
Once inside, Dad hugged us both. What a day. What a great day.
He turned to me. See, Jordan? Nothing terrible happened.
You can quit whining and complaining, you know.
Did you get some snow in your vagina, son?
We're lucky, I said.
I'm so sleepy,
Nicole complained, sinking onto her sleeping bag. I glanced out the window. The sun sat high in the sky as usual, but I knew it had to be very late.
Dad glanced at his watch. It's almost midnight. You too should get some sleep, he frowned.
I'd hate to wake up in the morning with no food, though. I'm going to radio for help. You guys can sleep when we get back to town.
Can we stay in a hotel?
I asked Dad.
In a bed?
If we can find one, he promised. He opened his pack, searching for the radio. He shuffled stuff around in his pack. Then he pulled things out one by one. A compass. An extra camera. Cans of film. A pair of socks, balled up.
Like that long pause where I was like, Dune, think of something funny. And I was like,
you should mention drugs, that'll be funny. And then I was like, it's not funny just mentioning drugs. That's not a joke. You do that too much. And I was like, I know, but I like drugs. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably why you can't think well. And then I just sighed in my mind. That all took place in that little space right there in between, like, extra camera, cans of film, and a pair of socks. I didn't like the look on his face. He turned the pack over and dumped everything on the floor. He sifted through it again, getting frantic. Dad, what's the matter? When he turned to me, he had a terrified expression on his face. The radio, he murmured. It's gone.
Chapter number 23.
No!
Nicole and I both shrieked. I don't believe this shit, Dad cried, pounding his fist into Nicole. Against his empty pack. Arthur must have taken the radio so we wouldn't report him. What a douchebag. I stomped around the room, frightened and furious. Our dogs, our sled, our food. Arthur had taken them all. And now, the radio. Did Arthur leave us here to freeze? To starve? Calm down, Jordan, Dad said.
But Dad...
Nicole interrupted. Dad shushed her. Just a second, Nicole. I've got to think of a way out of this. Dad, search the cabin. Don't panic. Don't panic. Don't panic. Apparently, he didn't actually open up his Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He just read the cover, am I right? He instructed himself.
But, Dad...
Nicole said, tugging at his sleeve. Nicole! I snapped. We're in big trouble. We could die out here. Dad, she insisted. Listen to me. You wrapped up the radio last night so it wouldn't freeze. It's in your sleeping bag, douchebag. Dad's mouth dropped open. You're right. This was a useless chapter, he cried. He hurried to his sleeping bag and reached inside. He dug into his sleeping bag and pulled out the radio wrapped in a wool scarf. We switched on the radio and fiddled with the dials. Icknick, Icknick, come in, Icknick. Dad asked the Icknick Airport to send us a helicopter. He tried to describe where we were. Nicole and I smiled sleepily at each other. We're going home, she said happily. Home to sunny, hot Pasadena. I'm gonna kiss a palm tree, I declared. I never want to see snow again. I had no idea that our snowy adventure was just beginning. On page 97. Also, that chapter was seriously useless. That chapter was... just over one page. And it was like, where's the radio? Oh, there's the radio. You know that he missed his word count on that one RL because he was just doing too much blow with too many black girls in neon bikinis dripping with champagne. Swag. Chapter number four. It's 24. Chapter 24.
Ah!
Okay. That was not the ah because I got it in the context. Let's try it again. Chapter 24. Ah, I sighed. Feel that sun? Nice and hot. The radio says it's 100 degrees today, Nicole reported. I love it. I beamed. Love it.
He's loving it.
I slapped more tanning lotion on my chest. Ew, what a douche. Our Alaska trip all seemed unreal now that we were home in Pasadena. The cold, the snow, the wind blowing over the rolling white tundra, the snarling brown furred abominable snowman. It all seemed like a dream, but I knew it was no dream. Dad had hidden the trunk with the abominable snowman inside the dark room in the backyard. Every time I passed it, I remembered the trip. Remember the creature that we fucking kidnapped and left out there in the sun to fucking die? Frozen in there and shivered. In our swimsuits, Nicole and I caught some rays in the backyard. Good old sunny Pasadena, where it never, never snowed. Thank goodness. I assume he originally wrote thank goddess, because he's a Wiccan. Lauren came over to hear about our trip. I wanted to tell her the whole story, but Dad had told us to shut the fuck up, at least until the snowman was safely settled somewhere. I don't believe you two, Lauren snorted. A week ago, you wouldn't shut up about snow. Now you're letting the sun burn you to a crisp. Well, we did the cold thing, and now we're doing the hot thing, I told her like an idiot. Anyway, I've seen enough snow to last me the rest of my life. Tell me about the trip, Lauren insisted. Tell me everything. It's a big secret, Nicole told her. What a douche. Nicole's the kind of girl that goes on Facebook and goes like, I am so upset right now.
And then someone goes, what's wrong? And she goes, I don't want to talk about it.
She and I exchanged glances. Secret? What kind of secret? Lauren demanded. Before we could reply, Dad emerged from the dark room. He squinted in the sunlight. He wore a down jacket, a ski cap, and gloves. He had turned the air conditioning way up in the dark room and covered the trunk with ice packs to keep the snowman cold. I'm going into the city now, he announced, removing his coat. Dad had a meeting with some scientists and wildlife experts in Los Angeles. He wanted to turn the abominable snowman over to the right people. He wanted to be sure the snowman would be treated well. Are you kids going to be all right while I'm gone? He asked. Of course, old man, Nicole replied. We survived the Alaskan tundra. I think we can live through one afternoon in our own backyard. My mom is home, Lauren said. She'll be around if we need anything. Good, Dad nodded. All right, I'm off. But remember, Jordan, Nicole, are you listening? Don't touch the supply trunk. Stay away from it. Understood? Gotcha, Dad, I promised. All right, I'll bring home a pizza for dinner. Oh, fuck yeah, pizza rules. Good luck, Dad, Nicole called. I watched him jump into the car and drive the fuck off. So, what's the big secret? Lauren asked as soon as Dad was gone. What's in the supply trunk? Nicole and I glanced at each other. Come on, spill, Lauren urged. I won't leave you alone until you tell me. God, Lauren's a bitch. I couldn't resist. I had to tell someone. We found him. We found him and we brought him back. Found who? The snowman, Nicole exclaimed. The abominable snowman! Lauren rolled her eyes. For sure. And did you find the tooth fairy up there, too? Yes, we did, I joked. And did you find Jesus Christ?
Dune said like a fedora-wearing atheist.
He's lying in the dark room right now, Nicole told Lauren. Lauren's face twisted in confusion.
Who? The tooth fairy?
Jesus?
No,
the abominable snowman!
A real one, I said, trapped in a block of ice. Which is also R. Kelly's new single. Along with 4 or 5 snowballs, I thought to myself. Snowballs I could throw at Lorne for a nice little surprise.
What? R.L. Stein, this is what you could think of. This is your reason that it will force the kids to open up the trunk where the snowman is for the snowballs. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Prove it, Lauren challenged us. You're making it all up. You think you're really funny. Nicole and I exchanged glances. I knew what she was thinking. Dad had just told us to stay away from the trunk. You two are as bad as the Miller twins, Lauren complained. That did it. Come on, I said. We'll show you.
We'd better not, Jordan, Nicole argued.
We won't hurt anything, I promised. We'll just pull open the lid a tiny bit so Lauren can see him, then we'll slam it shut. No harm done. I climbed off my lounge chair and started across the lawn to the dark room. Nicole and Lauren followed me. I knew they would. I opened the dark room door and switched on the light. A blast of cold air swept over me, making my bare chest tingle. Ooh, and my nipples turn hard. So hard. If only someone could warm him up for me. Ooh, yeah.
Nicole hesitated in the doorway.
Jordan, maybe we shouldn't. Ah, come on, Nicole. Lauren chided. Chitted. Lauren said, there's no abominable snowman. You two are ridiculous.
We're not ridiculous, Nicole protested.
We might as well show her, Nicole, I said. Nicole didn't reply. She stepped into the dark room and shut the door. In my bathing suit, I was shivering from the cold. It was almost like being back in Alaska. I knelt beside the huge trunk. I unhooked the latches. Slowly, carefully, I lifted the heavy lid, peered inside, and let out a chilling, blood-curdling scream of horror!
Checking how long chapter 25 is to see if I'm gonna keep reading. I am 25!
Nicole and Lauren shrieked and leaped back. Nicole backed into the wall with a crash. Lauren ducked under the developing table.
She's just under the table developing, because puberty. Yep, that was what that joke was.
I couldn't keep a straight face. I started to laugh.
Gotcha!
I cried gleefully. I was so pleased with myself. I had scared them to death. They were both stiffer than the abominable snowman. He lay frozen and still inside the block of ice.
Jordan, you creep,
Nicole declared angrily. She punched me in the back. Lauren punched me too. Then she peered into the open trunk and let out another scream. He's real! You weren't kidding! I could see that she was breathing hard.
It's okay, Lauren,
I assured her. He couldn't hurt you. He's frozen. She stepped closer and stared down at him.
I like how they keep saying him, which makes me assume that frozen in there is just a huge fucking snowman cock.
He's huge! She cried in amazement with perfect timing to the comment I was making. His eyes are open. They're so mean looking. Close the lid, Jordan, Nicole insisted. Quick, we've seen enough.
Now do you believe us?
I asked Lauren. She nodded. It's awesome. She shook her head, stunned at the amazing sight and having just as much of a vocabulary as Dune.
Hey, that's awesome, and that's rad, and that's gay, and that's a bummer. That's all I say.
Before I shut the lid, I sneaked two snowballs out of the bottom of the trunk. Snickering, I passed one to Nicole.
What's so funny?
Lauren asked suspiciously.
Nothing,
I said. I sealed the lid shut and latched the trunk.
That was a good sound.
That'll hold him, I thought. We're safe. Dad will never know we sneaked a peek at the monster. We left the dark room and closed the door carefully behind us.
That creature is just so awesome,
Lauren exclaimed. What is your dad gonna do with him?
We're not sure yet,
Nicole replied. Dad's trying to figure that out. She held her hands behind her back, hiding the snowball from Lauren. Suddenly, she shouted, Hey, Lauren, think fast! Lauren responded, I can't, I'm a girl! She threw the snowball at Lauren. It missed. Splat! It hit a tree. Nice shot, Ace, I cried sarcastically. But then I gaped at the tree in shock. The snowball. It didn't crumble to the ground. It started to grow. Thick, white snow spread quickly up the tree trunk and over the branches. Within seconds, the entire tree was covered with snow.
That was unexpected.
Wow, Lauren gasped. Nicole, how'd you do that? Nicole and I stared, open-mouthed, at the snow-covered tree. I was so stunned, the snowball fell out of my hand. I jumped back as it hit the ground and spread. Oh, wow! I shrieked.
Wait, is that how they make the snow for the X Games?
I watched snow spread over the lawn like a white blanket. It spread under our bare feet, over the driveway, out to the street. Oh no, it's cold, Nicole wailed, hopping from foot to foot. This is too fucking weird, I cried. It's 100 degrees out, and the snow isn't melting. It's spreading and growing deeper. I turned to see Lauren hopping and dancing, whirling around wildly. Snow, snow! She sang, It's wonderful, snow in Pasadena. Jordan, Nicole said quietly, this isn't right. We should have left the snow in the cave. It isn't normal snow.
Maybe it's cut with bath salts. I've had that experience recently.
Of course she was right. Any cave where an abominable snowman lives has got to be a weird place. But how could we have guessed? Let's build a snowman, Lauren cried gleefully. No, Nicole warned. Don't touch it. Don't do anything, Lauren. Not until we've figured this out. I don't think Lauren heard my sister. She was too excited. She kicked a spray of snow at an evergreen bush. The bush froze over with snow.
What are we going to do? Asked Nicole. What's going to happen when Dad comes home? He'll kill us.
I asked Nicole. Nicole didn't ask anyone. Whatever.
Nicole shrugged. Beats me. But, you're supposed to be the brain.
I sputtered.
This is so cool.
Lauren squealed.
Snow in Pasadena.
She picked up a chunk of snow and started balling it between her hands.
Snowball fight.
she shouted. "Stop it, Lauren! We're in big trouble here, don't you understand?" Lauren fired the snowball at Nicole. Instantly, thick white snow spread all over Nicole's body, covering her until she looked like a snowman. "Nicole!" I cried, running over the snowy ground to her. "Nicole, are you okay?" I grabbed her arm, stiff as an icicle. She was frozen solid. "Nicole!" I stared into her snow-covered eyes. "Can you hear me, Nicole? Can you breathe in there? Nicole? Nicole!"
Chapter number 26.
"Oh, no!" Lauren shrieked. "What have I done?" My sister was a statue. A frozen, snow-covered statue. "Nicole, I'm so sorry," Lauren cried. "Can you hear me? I'm so sorry." "Let's take her inside," I suggested frantically. "If we get her in the warm house, maybe we can warm her up." Lauren grabbed one of Nicole's arms. I grabbed the other. We carefully dragged her stiff body to the house. Her bare toes, hard as ice, left a long trail in the snow.
"She's so freezing," Lauren cried.
"How can we melt the snow?" "Let's put her next to the oven," I said. "That's how poor families stay warm. Maybe if we turn it up full blast, the snow will melt." We stood her in front of the oven. For good measure, I turned on all the burners on top of the stove. "That ought to do it," I said. A bead of sweat trickled down my face. From the heat or from the worry? Lauren and I watched and waited. Watched and waited. I didn't move. I didn't breathe. The snow didn't melt.
"It's not working," Lauren groaned. "Nothing's happening."
I tapped Nicole's arm. Solid ice. I tried to stay calm, but I felt as if 100 butterflies were tap dancing in my stomach. "All right, it's not working. We'll have to try something else."
"Something else?"
Tears rolled down Lauren's cheeks.
"Like what?"
Laura demanded in a trembling voice.
"Well..."
I racked my brain for the hottest place I could think of.
"Club Cool Jams! Every Friday night, the hottest place in Pasadena!"
"The furnace! We'll hold her in front of the furnace!" We dragged Nicole into the furnace shed behind the garage. The snow seemed to weigh a ton. It took all of our strength to drag her. I turned the furnace on full blast. Lauren stood, Nicole, in front of the open furnace door. A blast of hot air set Lauren and me staggering back. "If this doesn't work, nothing will," Lauren sobbed. The heat roared out of the furnace. I saw reflections of the red flames on Nicole's icy face.
"What, did she just get a new grill?"
"Oh, wait, no, her whole body's frozen. Never mind, I forgot that." My heart pounding, I watched to see the ice start to drip and the snow slide off her, but the ice didn't melt. My sister remained a human snow cone.
"Jordan, what are we going to do?"
Lauren wailed. I shook my head, thinking hard.
"The furnace isn't working. What else is hot?"
I was too scared to think clearly. "Don't worry, Nicole," Lauren told my frozen sister. "We'll get you out of this somehow." I suddenly remembered how warm the abominable snowman had felt when he carried us across the Alaskan tundra. There we were, 10 degrees below zero, surrounded by deep snow, and heat poured off the creature's body. "Come on, Lauren," I ordered. "We're taking her to the dark room." Struggling and straining, we dragged Nicole back outside across the backyard to the dark room. "Stay here," I told Lauren. "I'll be right back." I raced into the kitchen. I pulled open all the cupboards and drawers, desperately searching for one thing.
You know what he's looking for? He's looking for trail mix! Because that's what the snowman likes to eat, because that's the one thing he's fed him. I bet he'd eat anything. You know? Except for onions. Onions are gross.
"Please, please let there be trail mix somewhere in this house," I prayed. "Yes." I found a bag of trail mix behind an old box of spaghetti. I grabbed it and flew back into the dark room. Lauren stared at the bag in my hand.
"What's that?"
"Trail mix."
"Trail mix? Jordan, can't you wait to eat till later?"
Just kidding, that's so funny.
"It's not for me, it's for him." I motioned at the trunk.
"What?"
I unlatched the trunk and pulled it open.
The abominable snowman
lay inside as before, frozen in the block of ice. I grabbed a handful of trail mix and waved it above the snowman's face.
Wake up! Grab a pillow, makeup! Has got a fair way to shake up!
I begged. Please wake up! Look, I brought you some trail mix! Jordan, have you totally lost it? Lauren screeched. What on earth are you doing? I can't think of any other way to save Nicole, I cried. My hand trembled as I frantically waved the trail mix over the snowman. Come on, you know you love trail mix. Wake up, please, wake up. Come out and help us. I leaned over, staring hard at the monster's eyes, watching for him to blink, watching for any signs of life, but the eyes didn't move. The creature stared lifelessly up through the block of ice.
That was a good sound.
I refused to give up. Unlike Dune, I give up all the time. That's why I'm recording the second half of this later. Yum, yum, I shouted, my voice high and wild. Trail mix? Boy, is that good. I popped a few raisins in my mouth and chewed.
Delicious trail mix. So good, so tasty. Come on, wake up and try some.
He's not moving, Lauren sobbed.
Give up, Jordan. It isn't going to work.
Chapter number 23.
Did I trick you? Did you think a girl was singing? Because it was just me. I just sang it really high pitched, and that way it sounded like a girl. Whatever.
I jumped when I heard a soft sound, a faint crick.
Not a crack, but a crick. I
stared down at the block of ice. Next time I buy crack, I'll be like, what is this? I was trying to buy a rock. This isn't crack. This is a crick.
And then I'll get shot.
I stared down at the block of ice. Did the monster move? No. Silence now.
The abominable snowman's
black eyes glittered up on me, lifeless and blank. Was it my imagination? Lauren's right, I thought sadly. My plan isn't working. Nothing is working. I gently touched my sister's stiff, frozen arm. Maybe when Dad gets home, I hoped, maybe he'll think of some way to save her.
What are we gonna do?
Lauren sobbed, adding nothing to the situation. She was no help at all. Crack! I heard it again, louder this time, and then... Crack!
It says, it's very elongated, the word. There's three R's, and I don't have time to count the A's, and four K's.
A long crack ripped across the ice.
The abominable snowman groaned.
Lauren leaped back with a wild scream.
It's alive!
The ice broke up. The furry snowman slowly pulled himself up, moaning. Lauren cried out in fear. She pressed herself against the dark room wall.
What's he gonna do?
Shut up! The monster shook shards of broken ice from his shoulders. He lifted himself out of the trunk. He uttered a low growl.
Jordan, look out! Lauren cried.
The monster lurched toward me. My heart jumped. I wanted to back away or run away, but I couldn't. I had to stay and help Nicole.
The snowman grunted.
He swiped a giant paw at me. Lauren let out another shrill scream. I leaped back. What would the monster do? It says on Dune's bracelet. The monster cried again. He took another swipe.
Let's get out of here.
Lauren shouted. He's gonna hurt you. I wanted to run, but Nicole. The monster swiped at me again and snatched the bag of trail mix out of my hands. I suddenly realized that's all he wanted. He had been grabbing for the trail mix. He poured the trail mix into his mouth, gulping it down, swallowing it noisily. Then he tossed the bag away like a total litter bug. Lauren pressed her back against the corner of the dark room.
Make him go back into the trunk. She cried. Are you crazy? How can I do that?
The snowman growled and staggered across the floor. His heavy footsteps shook the floor. He stopped in front of Nicole. He reached his powerful arms around her snow-covered body and squeezed.
Stop him! Lauren screamed. He's crushing her!
God, she totally doesn't understand what's going on. The entire reason they woke up the snowman is so she could chill out. Or not chill out. You know what I'm saying? What's the opposite of chill out? Fucking...
warm, in, derp, and this chapter's over. Fuck it.
I'm now drinking a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale that I bought because I was bringing a 12-pack to a get-together, so I didn't show up empty-handed. And then I only stayed there for like 45 minutes, and I was like, hey. So nobody cracked into this, so I'm gonna take it now. And awkwardly walked out through a crowd of people with my 12-pack that I brought for everyone. Chapter 28. I couldn't move. I stared in horror. The big creature hugged Nicole hard, so hard that he lifted her off the ground. Stop! I finally choked out. You're hurting her. Without thinking of the danger, I dove forward. I grabbed his furry arms with both hands and struggled to pull him off my sister. With an angry grunt, he brushed me away. I stumbled back and fell into Lauren. I turned to see the monster squeezing Nicole. Lauren pointed down to the floor. Jordan, look! Gazing down, I saw a small puddle under Nicole's feet. Great, she pissed herself. Water dripped off her and onto the floor. Oh, okay, never mind. It's water. As it hit the floor, it evaporated, vanished from sight. Did I see Nicole's toes wiggle?
What do you think? What do you think, listeners?
Yes! I stepped closer, caught a glimpse of her face. A dot of pink appeared on her cheeks. Yes! Chunks of snow dropped off her body. They thudded to the floor, melted, and disappeared. I turned to Lauren. It's working! I cried happily. He's defrosting her. A trembling smile crossed Lauren's worried face. Apparently there's no letter F in the word seconds. A few seconds later, the snowman let Nicole go. The ice and snow had all melted and disappeared. The snowman gave a satisfied grunt and stepped back. Nah. Nicole moved her arm stiffly. She rubbed her face as if she were waking up. Nicole! I cried, grabbing her by the shoulders. Warm. Her shoulders were warm. Are you okay? She shook her head, dazed. What happened? Lauren ran up to Nicole and threw her arms around her. You were frozen, she said. Frozen like a snowman, but thank goodness you're all right. I turned to see the snowman watching us. Thank you, I called to him. And then I said it three more times just to sound like DJ Tanner. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know if he understood me. He grunted. Let's get out of here, Lauren urged. I'm freezing. Maybe the sun will warm you up, I told her. We opened the dark room door and stepped outside, the sun still beaming down. The air felt swelteringly hot, but the whole yard was covered with snow. Oh, yeah, Lauren murmured. I forgot about that. How the fuck did you forget about that shit? Hey, I cried out when I saw the abominable snowman. Almost forgot to do it that time. Leap out of the dark room. He's escaping, I shrieked. Dad will kill us, Nicole cried. All three of us started shouting at the creature. He ignored our cries and thudded heavily across the snow. His black eyes narrowed on the snow-covered tree. He stepped up to the tree, threw his arms around it, and hugged it tightly, just like when he hugged Nicole. That's cute. I watched as the snow began to melt. The blanket of white slipped down, down, shrinking away, until the trees stood green and golden under the sunlight.
Wow!
I uttered, hands pressed against my genitals. But the big, furry creature had more surprises in store. With a loud grunt, he dropped to the snowy ground. As we stared in surprise, he began to roll around in the snow. The snow appeared to stick to his fur. As he rolled, the snow vanished beneath him. Before long, the big creature was rolling on green grass. The last of the snow had vanished. He jumped to his feet. His eyes went wide, and he uttered a pained cry. What's the matter with him? Lauren demanded.
The abominable snowman gazed around, stunned at the green grass, the palm trees.
Then he raised his eyes to the blazing sun. He clutched his fur-covered head and let out a scream of terror. What damn, and I spilled beer on my laptop.
Where are you, couch cushion?
Cleaning up a spill with a couch cushion because I'm a terrible person.
He seemed confused for a moment, frightened. Then he let out a deep grunt and took off down the street. His big paws thudded heavily over the pavement. I ran after him. Wait, come back! He tore through someone's yard and kept running like a suspect on cops. I gave up. No way I could catch him. Nicole and Lauren caught up to me. Where's he going? Nicole demanded. How the fuck should I know? I snapped, struggling to catch my breath. I think he's looking for someplace cold, Lauren said. Nicole agreed. You're probably right. He must be so hot. Pasadena is no place for an abominable snowman. He'll probably find a cave in the mountains, I said. It's a lot colder up there. I only hope he finds a way to get trail mix.
You ruined that monster's life.
We trudged back to our yard, green again and hot. I knew that Nicole and I had one word in our minds. D-A-D.
By the way, it's actually spelled out here. I wasn't douchely doing that myself.
He had instructed us not to touch the trunk. We had ignored his warning. Now, the snowman was gone. Dad's big discovery, Dad's big chance for fame, gone. Gone forever. All because he wasn't smart enough to pull out twice. Those fucking kids. Fucking ruining his goddamn life. It wasn't all our fault. At least Dad has the photos, I said softly. The photos will amaze everyone. All by themselves. I guess so, Nicole replied, biting her bottom lip tensely. We walked back to the dark room to close up the supply trunk. I glanced inside the trunk. Two magic snowballs left. Those things are dangerous. We'd better get rid of them, Nicole warned. I'm not touching them. Lauren backed away. You're right, I told my sister. We should hide them somewhere. They're too dangerous to keep around. Nicole ran into the house and returned with a heavy-duty garbage bag. Quick, stuff them in here. I carefully scooped up each snowball and dropped it in the trash bag. Then I twisted the bag closed and knotted it tightly. Now what? Lauren asked. We should blast them into outer fucking space. That's what we should do. Shit, Nicole said. If anyone gets hold of them and starts spreading snow around, we'll be in big trouble. We need the abominable snowman to get rid of the snow, and he's gone. Pasadena could turn into a ski resort, I joked like an idiot. We could ice skate on Kyle and Kara's swimming pool. I shivered. I didn't want to think about Kyle and Kara. I didn't want to think about them in the snow and shit like that also. We should bury the snowballs, I told them. But where? Not in my yard, Lauren protested. I didn't want to bury them in our yard either. What would happen to them down there? Would they spread snow underground? Would snow spring up through the grass? We left the dark room and scanned the area for good burial spots.
What about the empty lot? Nicole suggested.
Across the street, right next to Kyle and Kara Miller's house, stood a vacant lot. There was nothing in it but piles of sand and a few empty bottles.
Hell yeah. I need to start drinking in empty lots. Is it just teenagers who do that or homeless people? I need to start drinking in public more. Not like at bars, but I mean like places that aren't meant for alcohol consumption. It doesn't count as a flask and stuff. I mean, like, I'm going to park in this park and sit down and get a chair. I'm going to drink until I'm shitloaded and eventually stumble home to a very confused and angry girlfriend.
Perfect, I declared. No one will ever find the snowballs there. Nicole hurried to the garage and grabbed a shovel. We crossed the street, glancing around to make sure no one saw us. The coast is clear, I said. I grabbed the shovel and dug a hole in the sand. It took longer than I thought because I had weak, girly arms. Sand kept filling back into the hole. Finally, the hole was deep enough. Nicole dropped the trash bag into the hole. Goodbye, Snowball, she said. Goodbye, Alaska. I covered the hole with sand. Lauren smoothed it out so you couldn't tell that sand had been dug up.
Woo! I groaned, wiping the sweat from my face.
I'm glad that shit's over. Let's go inside and cool off. I put away the shovel. Then, Nicole, Lauren, and I got ourselves some cold apple juice and collapsed in front of the TV. A short while later, we heard Dad's car pull into the driveway. "Uh-oh," Lauren gasped. "I think I'd better go home now. See you guys later." She hurried out the back door. "Good luck," she called. The door slammed behind her. I gave Nicole a nervous glance. How fucking pissed will Dad be? He finds an amazing rare creature, brings it home, and we let it loose and it runs away because we're huge fucking douchebags? That's not so bad, is it? Nicole shuddered. Maybe if we tell him the whole story, he'll be so glad we're not hurt that he won't be angry. Maybe, yeah. The front door swung open. "Hey, kids," Dad called. "I'm home. How's our snowman doing?" Chapter number 29, Zabenya, oh, Himanyama, Himanyama Bada. We ate supper early that evening. Things were pretty quiet around the dinner table. "I'm glad you kids are safe and sound," Dad said for the fifth goddamn time. "That's what counts." "Yeah," Nicole said, chewing her pizza. "Uh-huh," I added quietly. "I usually had 3 slices. Tonight I could barely manage 1, and I left the crust on the plate, like those uptight rich kids." Fuck those people who don't eat their crust. Poor Dad. You know how I eat pizza, by the way? Speaking of poor Dad. I eat it where, first I take a bite out of the front, right, the point of the triangle, the necessary point, and then I eat the 2 crust pieces off the corner, so it looks like an arrowhead. This is because I want to get those out of the way, because they're not as good, but I'm going to eat them, because they're fucking food, you know? And then I eat around. Then I eat the crust, middle chunk, second to last. Then I eat the delicious bite in the very middle of the slice as my final one, and savor the joy of the center of the pizza slice. Poor Dad. He was trying so hard not to be upset about losing the abominable snowman. But Nicole and I knew how bad he felt. Dad dropped his half-eaten slice of pizza on his plate. "I'll tell the Museum of Natural History. They'll have to make do with the photographs, I guess." "Photographs are better than nothing," I said, helping no part of the situation. "Better than nothing? Are you crazy?" Nicole cried. "Those pictures are going to amaze the whole world!" Dad perked up. "That's true. I mentioned them to some TV producers. They went wild." He stood and carried his plate to the sink. "I think I'll go out to the darkroom and develop that film right now. These pictures are going to cheer me up. I mean, they're historic! Historic, Jerry!" I was glad to see Dad snap out of his disappointment. Nicole and I followed him, eager to see the photos. We sat quietly under the red light while Dad developed the negatives. At last, he pulled the first set of contact sheets out of the chemical bath. Nicole and I leaned close to the pictures. "Huh?" Dad uttered an astonished cry. "Snow. Nothing but snow. 10 pictures of snow." "That's strange," Dad choked out. "I don't remember taking these shots." Nicole flashed me an evil stare. I knew what she was thinking. I held my hands up innocently. "I'm not playing any tricks, I swear." "You'd better not be, Jordan," Dad warned sternly. "I'm in no fucking mood for your kidding around." Dad turned back to the chemical trays and developed another set of photos. As he pulled them up, dripping wet, we all squinted at them. "More snow. Nothing but snow." It was like a Canadian rap station in the early 90s. "Informer, this can't be happening," Dad screamed. "The abominable snowman, he should still be hanging right here. He pointed right there. Oh, yeah." His hand shook as he grabbed the rest of the negatives and held them up to the red light. "The tundra shots came out fine," he declared. "The dogs, the sled, the elk herd, all there. All perfect, all of them. But the shots of the monster's cave..." His voice trailed off. He shook his head sadly. "I don't get it. I just don't get it. How could this be? Not a single shot of the creature. Not one." I sighed. I felt so bad for Dad. I felt so bad for all 3 of us. "No abominable snowman! No photos of the abominable snowman!" It's almost as if it never existed, as if the whole thing never happened. Drinking break.
Nicole and I left Dad in the dark room to finish his work. We trudged around the house to the front. Nicole groaned and grabbed my arm. Oh, no, look! Across the street in the vacant lot, I saw the Miller twins kneeling down, digging in the sand. They're digging up the snowballs, I gasped. Those creeps, Nicole growled. They must have been spying on us while we buried them. We've got to stop them, I cried. We hurried across the street, running full speed. I saw Kyle rip open the garbage bag and pull out one of the snowballs. He swung back his arm and aimed at Kara. No, Kyle, stop, I screamed. Don't throw it. Don't throw it, Kyle. Thwack.
The end.
Well, isn't Pasadena fucked, am I right? I'm Dune, from Dune Reads Goosebumps, and I'm here to tell you that this is the end of part two of The Abominable Snowman of Pasadena by R.L. Stein. I'm going to get it up today, right now. It should be posted by 5 o'clock or so, on Saturday, that's Pacific time. I'm in San Diego. I had my air conditioning on today. I know that's rude. Fuck. That's about it. I'm going to try to go on a weekly schedule. That's pretty exciting, right? No, not really. Whatever. You know what is pretty cool? Me telling you. You ready, Franklin?
Oh, big stretch.
To stay spooky, bitches.